God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
On the program today, Dr. Bob Glaze talks with David Bay about his new DVD titled, Is the Russian Bear Poised to Attack Israel? The prophet Ezekiel foretold of a time at the end of the age when Russia would lead a confederation of armies in an attack on Israel. All you have to do is read the headlines to see that such a clash is not only possible, but very probable. Here now is Dr. Bob Glaze and David Bay.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. And on our program today, we have a person here who's no stranger to the ministry, and that is David Bay. David, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Bob. It's good to be here.
David is with Cutting Edge Ministries, and they do quite a bit of research and videos. And what we're going to be discussing today is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. That is Ezekiel 38 and 39. And the title of the DVD is Russian Bear Poised to Attack Israel. And certainly there have been much discussion about this for many years. David, I remember when Jack Van Impe came out with a platter, a 78, I believe, of Russia invading Israel back in the 60s. That was a long time ago. I think he's the first one that really brought this to big attention. So it's interesting. And as we study that, we'll see. I think this is the next great event for we as Christians. There's a lot of discussion about when this is going to take place and so forth, and we'll just take it as it comes. But David, let's just start out. Why did you make this study?
Well, I have long been intrigued by the revelations that God makes in Daniel chapter 10, where he depicts or he reveals that daily ungodly angels and godly angels are battling for the ear of a human king. The Russian-led invasion of Israel, and as revealed in Ezekiel 38 and 39, is the most important and most well-developed of this type of activity, where a demonic overlord, a demonic being assigned to the Russian leader, actually leads Russia into this battle or into this invasion of Israel.
So what you're saying here is, immediately just kind of set the tone, is you believe that that angel there, the Prince of Persia, is actually, though we know that to be an angel, we're saying that Gog, you believe, is actually an evil angel?
Yes, absolutely. And we quote a passage out of the Greek Septuagint in Amos, where Gog is actually mentioned as a demonic overlord of this horde of demonic beings called locusts. And so that it's pretty clear that Gog is the national overlord of the Russian leaders at this time. And the word overlord there is used, actually, you know, I first heard it from a Satanist. Satanists believe in Daniel chapter 10. They believe it with all their heart. They know it's happening, just like Daniel 10 said.
Well, of course, the Greek Septuagint is translation from some of the original languages, and it may point out something that the KJV doesn't, and we lean more towards the KJV, but it doesn't hurt to read some of these other things, just get an idea of what's going on. But Ezekiel 38 and 39 is such a powerful portion of Scripture that vividly details exactly what's going to take place. And prophecy has certainly always been a favorite study of mine. I've always loved prophecy. And I think that Ezekiel 39, verse 8, sets the tone for all prophecy. And that is that when God envisions it, when God says it, it becomes an established fact. In his mind, it's already taken place. I just want to read one verse before we get started here, and that's Ezekiel 39, verse 8. It said, "Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken." In other words, when he speaks it, it's an established fact. It has to come to pass. It will come to pass. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 here is just a portion of that, and that's going to come to take place.
Yes, it is. And, you know, you're talking about Jack Van Impe first reporting this in the 1960s. A lot has changed in the 60s. I mean, back the alliances in the 60s were not what they are today. I mean, Turkey was a member of the of NATO and trying to become a member of the European Union, and Iran was an ally of the United States.
The Shah was still the leader there.
They were very pro-West, and their women were wearing Western garb and going out on the streets in Western garb, and there was just a lot of Western influence. Iran was considered a very progressive state. It wasn't until 1979, when the Ayatollah ordered the detention of our diplomats there, that Iran began to shift toward Russia and against the West. And in fact, since President Bush first told Iran, right after the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, President Bush said to Iran, "You're next." From that point on, all these threats of attack for these last 12 years had just driven Iran deeper and deeper into the Russian orbit.
So we see that they've actually become part of the Russian Muslim coalition, so
yes,
to speak.
A key member.
A key member.
Absolutely key member.
Let's just establish something here. Do you believe that Putin will lead this, or will this be a Muslim percentage of the Russian population that comes down? Or are these different tribes and cities and so forth that are mentioned, the names here?
No, it mentions Meshes, which is the old name for Moscow.
Okay.
And so, you know, a very common way for centuries, a very common way to refer to a country is to utter the name of the capital. So if I say Moscow, I could very well be talking about the whole nation of Russia. If we want to talk about the nation of the United States, well, a shorthand way to refer to it is Washington.
Right. Well, you go back to Genesis chapter 10 and 11 there, all of these names that are mentioned here in Ezekiel 38, we see they're all sons or grandsons of the three sons of Noah as they came out of the ark, and he moved westward into what present-day Turkey, which was called Asia Minor for most of the period. But these are all established in Turkey, and I believe from there they dispersed into the different places, different locations, different geographic places. Let's just look at the overall picture of Ezekiel 38 and 39. What is the overall gist of the prophecy here?
God starts off with declaring that he is dead set against this demonic being Gog in the land of Magog. And he identifies the geographical location of Rosh, which became Russia, and of Meshech, which became Moscow. And so it's pretty clear that that Gog is somehow a leader of Russia, the land of Moscow. And then God says, "I'm going to turn you about." In other words, this national demonic overlord being is leading the Russian leader in another direction, toward another plan. And God says, "I'm going to turn you about, and I'm going to lead you to come up against the mountains of Israel." And then later in there, he says, "I'm going to set hooks in your jaw and turn you around." So that is a far stronger wording than just in verse 2 when he says, "I will turn you about." So evidently, this being Gog is, initially resists God's attempt to turn him to an attack on Israel. So God has to go to the more extreme measure of actually putting a bridle or hooks in the jaws of this being to turn him around.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting that even though this is a Muslim coalition, they're not all Arabs. Turkey is not Arab. Iran is not Arab. Afghanistan is not Arab. They're from actually the same son of Noah that we came from. I just want to read something in Genesis chapter 10.
Okay.
It says, Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, that's where we come from, the Caucasians. It says Gomer and Magog, Madai and Javan, and this includes Greek and the Greeks and so forth, and Tubal, which many believe is the original version of the second capital of Russia, Tobolsk, and it says, and Meshech, which you're saying is Moscow, or most believe it is Moscow, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Rephath, and Togarmah. So this is the present-day Turkey. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, that's another one. Some think it's in southern Spain. Kittim and Dodanan, these are the isles of the Gentiles. not the Jews, divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after his families, and their nations. So we're talking about Caucasians here.
Yes.
Of the same tribe that you and I are from. But the thing that separates us, we're not Muslim. So it's kind of a mixed bag here.
The imposition of Muslims in this whole equation is a fairly recent phenomenon. You're right. This is not an Islamic force. This is a Caucasian force with a leader coming from Moscow or Russia.
Some of them are actually from the other two sons, Ham and Japheth. I mean, they're also involved in this thing. So it's the entire world represented by all these different tribes of the sons of Noah. All of them are coming against Israel. It's going to be a massive thing, but, you know, God has a plan. He's going to take care of this. So do you believe that, just kind of a side note here, so far Russia has really not been involved in fighting ISIS? The number one, I don't think they were invited. But number two, I believe that Putin cannot afford to make anyone else mad at this time. He doesn't need ISIS into their country. They have a lot of Muslims in their military and in their country that already cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, they've been fighting the Muslims in Chechnya for a very long time.
Right, that's true.
And these are very violent Muslims. I mean, you know, car bombings, suicide bombings, attacks on military barracks and stuff. Russia's been fighting this for a number of years.
But they have not involved ISIS at this time, I don't believe.
Well, ISIS is a force that is being, Turkey is the main supplier and trainer of ISIS. And ISIS, you know, we are headed for this Novus Ordo Seclorum on the back of our dollar bill, the New World Order. And the writings there indicate that the first thing that has to be done is the old order has to be knocked down. And ISIS is being allowed to roam freely and brutally through the whole Middle East to knock down the old order so they can establish the new order they want in that part of the country.
Well, ISIS has to take Turkey because Turkey is the old Ottoman Empire. They're trying to reestablish the caliphate. They have to take Turkey. Up until now, Erdogan has been supporting the rebels in Syria, which we know now is ISIS because they already have half the country.
Well, ISIS has just declared war on Saudi Arabia.
Well, yeah, that's another.
And they had said that one of their goals is to, after they overthrow the House of Saud, they're going to seize control of the Islamic holy places at Mecca and Medina.
Absolutely. They have to have those to complete this caliphate. And I think all of these things are a part of or helping to bring about is the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39, the forming of this coalition.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. In fact, that's one of the exciting things of the events of the last five or six or seven years is the political and religious movement of these nations to where they are now aligning with Russia.
Yeah. Erdogan, the prime minister, president, or whatever he is in Turkey, in their election just the first part of this week, lost a majority in their government. So this, I'm not sure how this is going to work out yet, but this has slowed him down some, I think, in support of the rebels.
Well, the Turkish people, a lot of them, are tired of him pandering to the EU in order to try to get in. And I think that's a big part of the problem. In 2002... he won a landslide election.
Absolutely.
That just really shocked the pro-Western generals of Turkey because it was so deeply anti-establishment. I mean, the Muslims really backed him in a big way, and they've reelected him now twice. This is his first setback, but he's still in power, and he has pointed Turkey toward Russia more and more in the last couple of years.
He stated that he wants Sharia law, which is necessary for ISIS to take over. That is what ISIS is all about. I've been to Turkey on many occasions. I have found that they're very secular. They dress secular. As many times as I've been there, I never saw a burqa. We have a member of our board, one of our trustees, who just returned from Turkey. He had a meeting there for sustainable development and so forth as far as energy is concerned. They had several thousand delegates there from different countries all the way around the world, like 190 countries. And Erdogan, who came in, who was supposed to address this assembly about sustainable energy, and what did he talk about? He talked about the refugees from Syria and how that the United States and Europe should take care of these 2-point-something million refugees from Syria. And I said all that to say, in all the times that I've been there, I never saw a burqa. They were looked down upon. If even a Kurd came to Istanbul, he was shunned. But according to my co-worker, who's there, a trustee, he said that burqas were everywhere now in Istanbul. And that's just because of the refugee situation. So those are being accepted now. I think they're being climatized to accept all this stuff. So they're ready to move in, I believe, at any time. And I really hate that because I really love to go to Turkey. But those days may be over with. The coalition now has formed. So let's go on. What's the prophetic alliance of nations foretold? When with Russia? Has that already been formed? Have any of those been formed?
Well, yeah. I mean, Russia, you know, we've already talked about how Turkey is turning away from the West and toward the East. Iran is firmly in the Russian orbit. Gomer, I think, is probably Eastern European, some of the nations that are currently part of the new Russian superstate. Then Libya and Ethiopia are there. It's all come together to form the alliance that God foretells in Ezekiel 38:39.
Okay, David, the next part we want to look at here is the significance of Daniel 10 and what it has to do with the fulfillment of the end of the age prophecy.
Well, Daniel 10 reveals that godly angels are battling ungodly angels in the supernatural sphere for the ear of the human king to be able to affect the actions of the human king for their God, as far as the godly angels are concerned, for Satan, as far as the ungodly is concerned. Now, Ezekiel 38:39 reveals that this kind of demonic activity to affect the actions of the human king, it exists at the end of the age when Russia invades Israel. Therefore, you can only conclude that the end of the age is going to be greatly influenced by demonic overlords of other nations. And we see this in Revelation 16 in a big way, where I believe it's in verse 16, it says that God is turning the kings of the earth once more to attack Israel, and unclean spirits, green unclean spirits that carry the word to all the kings of the earth to assemble their forces for the Battle of Armageddon. So we see that twice there at the end of the age, that demonic spirits are leading the human rulers, you know, to act in so that God's prophecies will be fulfilled. So, you know, we have to conclude that the United States has a demonic overlord. Great Britain has one. I mean, all the nations of the world that are, you know, have this kind of a supernatural leader whispering into the ear of that king.
I think we can really see this today. We won't miss any names, but I think that the leaders of the nations today are really listening and being led by some of these evil angels, as we see. And so they're dictating, maybe it's kind of like they're in a hypnotic trance or something. They're being dictated to. And the people of this country and other countries who just seem to believe everything that the leaders have to say are just climatized and ethnotized to all of this. And I think most people today have the idea that regardless of what happens, somebody's going to take care of me. We don't have to pay attention to what's going on because everything's going to be fine. Well, everything is not fine. It's going to get worse. These evil beings are having a lot to do with our country today, how it's being run, the things are involved, our attitude towards Israel, our attitude towards other nations that we should not even be involved with, but we are. We're seeing how God is going to use all this, bring it together, and use it for His good and to fulfill His prophetic word. So,
yeah, and that's important to notice. In Revelation 17:17, where God is talking once again about the final 10 kings of the earth, it says that God has put it into their hearts, the final 10 kings of the earth, to act in harmony or to agree until all of God's prophetic intentions are fulfilled. So there you have it. God has communicated to these evil beings who then go to the human ruler and lead them in the path that God's prophecy dictates.
Well, it's much like he put into the heart. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He did not make Pharaoh. This was not something that God predetermined before the foundation of the world. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He had already rejected God. These that you're talking about have already rejected God. Now God is going to use them to fulfill his word. So God's in control.
God is in control. Absolutely.
We don't have to worry as a Christian. You know, I just say I don't understand some of this, but God's in control. And thank goodness he's God and I'm not. If I was God, there'd be a lot of dead people laying around. All he has to do is think it and it's done. How did God force this demonic overlord into persuading the human leader of Russia, let's just use Russia, to attack Israel?
Well, it says that, in, I believe it's verse 2 in Ezekiel 38, it says that God is going to turn the Gog, you know, around. And then he says, no, it's verse 4. And then he says, and he will have to put hooks in his jaws. The word hook there is the same word as a horse's bridle. So in other words, God is going to have to put a metal bridle in the hook of the in the mouth of this overlord and turn him around. And a bridle works on the pain, on a principle of pain. You cause the horse's mouth enough pain, and he'll move his head and move his body the way you want him to. So God is going to evidently have to put some pain upon this demonic overlord to get him to turn the Russian leader around from going in the direction that he originally wanted him to, and start moving toward Israel.
So you think that he doesn't have any other choice? He has to do that.
He has to do that. But I think he resisted God. You know, at least the language here seems to imply that initially he resists God, and therefore God had to take some firm action against him. He had to actually put some pain on him to get him to turn around and start moving the Russian forces and the Russian leader toward Israel.
All right. David, I think this is a good place to stop for this program. We will have another program tomorrow, and Marvin can tell you how that you're able to get this very important DVD. We live in an important time. We live in the end days. We don't know exactly when Ezekiel 38 and 39 is going to take place. I believe it's going to be very soon. But whatever it is, as we've just got through saying, David, God's in control. So we are in him, and he takes care of us, and ultimately we're going to be with him. So the DVD, Russian Bear Poised to Attack Israel, the study of Ezekiel 38 and 39. David, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And
look forward to being with you tomorrow.
We'll be back again tomorrow.
You can have a copy of this new DVD, Is the Russian Bear Poised to Attack Israel?, for an offering of $15 in the United States and $16 in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to Southwest Radio Church at Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. And don't forget to visit our website at swrc.com. This DVD, as well as all of our materials, are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at swrc.com. Stay tuned over most of these stations for our Bible in the News article, and join Dr. Glaze and David Bay tomorrow as they continue this discussion on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church. The Bible in the News is a presentation of Southwest Radio Church. Our Bible in the News article today is brought to you by Pastor Larry Spargimino.
The famous 19th century English preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, had been charged with finding Jesus in every passage of the Bible, even in the Old Testament and in the Psalms. Spurgeon boasted that he was guilty as charged and proud of it. Others have been charged with finding a communist hiding behind every bush and causing every problem we as a people and nation face. Some even claim that communists are behind the war against the family. Is there any merit to the charge? In the May 2015 whistleblower, author Paul Kengor makes this charge in his article titled, Communist Joint Attack on Americans' Religious Freedom, Same-Sex Marriage Offers a Sledgehammer for Destroying Family, Marriage, and Faith. Kengor writes the following, Once upon a time, Communist Party USA booted out gays like Harry Hay. Not anymore. There has been a fundamental transformation. Now, is there any substance to this claim? The People's World official website gives substance to the claim. The website says it is, quote, known for partisan coverage. We take sides. Yours. The editorial mission is partisan to the working class, people of color, women, young people, seniors, LGBT community, to popularize the ideas of Marxism and Bill of Rights socialism. The websites enjoy a special relationship with the Communist Party USA. Close quotes. The People's World has recently published a remarkable number of pro-gay marriage articles. People's World for June the 3rd, 2015, for example, features an article by Eric A. Gordon titled, A Love Story for Gay Pride Month with Confederate Flag. But why this pro-gay orientation? What does the radical gay agenda have to offer the Communist Party USA? Well, Kengor believes that for two centuries, communists and other leftist radicals have been seeking to take down and destroy traditional biblical marriage and the family. The radical gay agenda is a convenient tool to this end. Significantly, People's World recently ran two articles criticizing Indiana Governor Mike Pence in his attempt to protect religious freedom by protecting those who have religious convictions against so-called same-sex marriage. Kengor closes his article by making his point in this way, and I quote him, Marx and Engels and friends would be absolutely thrilled that gay marriage is offering a sledgehammer not only to remold the family, but to bludgeon religious believers. It's an amazing sight to behold. It has been a long time coming. Close quotes. How will it all end? Well, Jesus spoke about the wheat and the tares growing together. Jesus said, Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Close quotes, and that's from Matthew 13 and verse 30.
That was today's Bible in the News commentary. You can have the entire month of the Bible in the News articles, the audio portion, on two CDs, for an offering of $14 in the United States and $15 in Canada. To order your monthly Bible in the News on CD, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. And you can order the Bible in the News audio on our website at swrc.com. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for the Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News article from Southwest Radio Church.